Jason Kidd, Scoop Robinson, I think, had it, that Jason Kidd viewed the Knicks opening as a dream job. Now, again, it didn't come from Kidd's mouth. We saw Kidd last night with the Mavericks getting excited about Cooper Flagg. We heard Nico Harrison, again, the Mavs GM, talk about it. He thought he shut it down. To me, I said this earlier in the week, I feel like this is going to be the move that the Knicks make. It would be the only one that would make sense, at least in accordance with having a plan. And when there's smoke, there's usually fire. I'm starting to get the sense there's smoke around more smoke now around Jason Kidd and the Knicks.
Yeah, I know. Listen, I know that the Knicks want him. I still don't feel like he's going to wind up here. And maybe he does, right? But I also think, Sal, like the business of the NBA is going on right now. I mean, the Celtics might trade Jaylen Brown. They did trade KP. They're stripping away money. Jrue Holiday. Who knows what the Bucks do with Giannis? Like, it's just a bad, and this is obviously about Jason Kidd and the Knicks head coaching spot, but I think even almost bigger than that, this is just a bad look where everybody's doing their business, getting ready for the season, and a team that was almost in the NBA Finals is on the side of the road without a coach watching everybody. Oh. I don't think it looks good for the Knicks.
Now, do you think a part of that is because they feel like, well, we've already got our core. We're not making one of these big moves. Like, are the Knicks on White? I'd love to get in on White. Or even Jaylen Brown. Like, hey, any big name that's out there, we reference it with KD. I would be, you know, I wanted to be on him. We knew the Knicks weren't going to be after Bondia, the post shot that down. But point is, I'd be looking to make any of these big moves, even if it means changing up the look of this core group yet again. But maybe they're, I don't want to say complacent, but they know that they got their pieces in place and now are just trying to focus on finding the right head coach to maximize what they have with Towns, Bridges, and Brunson.
Okay, so if that's the case, and let's just say that they're going to move forward with their five starters and then Deuce and Mitchell Robinson, and that the only big swing that they're going to take is the head coach, do you think that Jason Kidd is enough to elevate, you know, what basically the entire team coming back, maybe one of those younger players that everybody was saying, oh, play more last year that didn't really play. Maybe they get a little more runway this year, but it's going to be the same core group with the same bench for the most part. Do you think Jason Kidd takes that to a championship team?
I think it's a great question. I don't know if I could definitively say I feel better about Jason Kidd than Tom Thibodeau. I would have preferred, no matter who they end up getting, I would have preferred to run it back one more time with Tibbs to see how far he could take this group in a second year, learning the guys that he has. Now that he's not here and that's not an option, Kidd was one of the guys that I had on my short list because I do believe he's a good head coach, and I like the fact that he's familiar with Brunson and, you know, a player's guy but can hold guys accountable. There's something about his personality. Like, I don't think Jason Kidd's a good guy. I think he's a bad person. Mm-hmm. I think that's been proven. It's not even my opinion. I never really met him, but
yeah.
I don't think he's a good guy. Can I overlook that? If it means him leading the Knicks to the NBA Finals or a championship, maybe. And if I'm ignoring that part of it,
yeah.
And that's a big part to ignore. Like, if they do end up hiring, that's going to be a big focal point. Kidd's past, how was he? You know, you're a leader now. You're not just a player.
Yeah.
You're a leader of these guys. I ignore that for a second and look at the basketball aspect of it, and I do believe that he's one of the very few coaches available that can get this team to another level.
All right, fair. Now, do you think that there's anybody else out there that maybe has higher character but can also is also on that list? And I'm with you. It's a short list.
Yeah.
That could then do the same thing you think Jason Kidd could do for the Knicks.
Well, I mean, Van Gundy was on my short list. I kind of have to let that go. That's not going to happen. And even that was, I believe Van Gundy's a great head coach. It was nostalgia-based, at least to some extent. I like Mike Inouye. I know you don't have
Well, because of the sound bites?
Well, yeah, the sound bites are a part of it. His personality is fun, but no, more so because of his offensive work with Karl Anthony Towns. I like Jenkins from Memphis. I think that we talked about it. I definitely don't want Mike Brown. I mean, I guess those would be my three right now. I don't want Johnny Bryan. I've been consistent on that.
Haven't heard his name in a while with the Knicks.
I think they're going to go expand. I don't think it's going to be Nori either. I think they're going to, and I know they just interviewed or requesting the interview with the Pelicans assistant.
The other assistant, yeah.
But for me, no, of the names that we've heard,
yeah.
Like, I don't think it's to me, it's either Jenkins or Kidd, and I probably favor Jason Kidd in that regard.
Yeah, now, if we do favor Jason Kidd, I think a lot of people are with you. Do we favor Jason Kidd because it's a flashy name? I know he's a good coach. Okay, yeah. He's obviously a competent and several levels above competent. He's not great, but he's really good.
Is he better than Tibbs, definitively?
I think where he's different makes him better.
I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
He may not be better overall, but where he is different from Tibbs could benefit the Knicks.
The stage that they're at, they need this.
Yep.
Like, the one thing that I'm not going to do, and that's why certain names on the list, I'm kind of like, not that I don't want to find somebody who can tap into a little bit more of Karl-Anthony Towns, but Because I do. I mean, obviously, if you can unlock him further and find a better way for them to gel and to mesh and to flourish with Jalen Brunson on the court, obviously, along with Kat, and somehow work around those defensive deficiencies, which they both have, that would be a great thing for the Knicks here. But, like, I don't view Karl-Anthony Towns as somebody that I'm going, like, I'm not jumping through hoops to make him incredibly comfortable. I'm just not. If it works out that way, fantastic. If it doesn't, I'm of the mindset, I'll ship him out.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not married to Karl-Anthony Towns.
I think
which
they
is
are,
why
though.
I do think Kidd would be good for Brunson.
Yeah, I think they are married to Karl-Anthony Towns. And look, this is going to be a big, this is bigger picture. They could talk about, and when they say this, it's the wrong thing to me when you focus singularly on winning an NBA championship. That's how you get yourself into trouble. The other stuff that came out yesterday as far as what the Knicks would be looking for, you know, a guy who's going to develop younger players, make an emphasis on having a deeper bench, all those different things, which eventually you hope would lead to an NBA championship. And I'm not so sure the two are tied hip and hip. Like if you, or neck and neck, whatever it may be, tied at the hip. If you have great talent, you're going to be in a better spot to win an NBA championship. It doesn't mean, hey, if your, you know, 10th guy is a serviceable player, you're more likely to win a championship. We saw that get exposed with the Pacers because the way the Pacers play, I don't necessarily think that you need that to beat some other teams that'll win an NBA title, especially in a depleted East with now different teams loading up here. But I like the idea of Jason Kidd. If he was hired, at least to me, because I think the rhetoric continues to be the Knicks don't have a plan. Like, that's still the same. What is the plan? I don't know. I don't see a plan. I think Kidd has been the primary plan all along. And they're just figuring out a way how to get that actually done where the Mavs could decline permission. But if Kidd really looks at this as his dream job and wants the opening and wants to work with Brunson and be back at the Garden and knows New York, I feel like Kidd will find a way to make it happen.
Okay, now, so here's the thing, though. So if this was part of their plan, are you saying that you think that they fired Tom Thibodeau knowing that Jason Kidd no doubt was their target and that they thought that they could get him?
Yeah, at least in part.
See, I don't feel that way. I hope you're right, by the way.
Yeah, because at least that would show that they've had a plan. I don't know that, but if they don't hire Kidd, then there was clearly no plan. Like, you can't tell me that their plan was Brown and Jenkins.
100%.
It's either Kidd or no plan at all. Or their plan was extremely flawed because it was, let's try Udoka, let's try Billy Donovan.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
that's not a plan when you're looking at other teams' head coaches who are already under contract. Like, that can't be the plan. Let's fire this guy and hope that we're going to be allowed to talk to one of these great head coaches that have a job.
Well, one thing to consider, and I think this is so important, right? Well, we get all day bore you with the X's and O's and what kind of offense you're going to roll out, what you do with the pick and roll defense, blah, blah, blah. Nobody wants to hear that right now. Even though it's important, nobody wants to hear that right now. I got to tell you, how many times have we said, and it's frustrating, and I try not to do it, but I've done it over the years as well. The Yankees regular season doesn't mean that much. Think about this. Like, all right, let's see. You're going to be a playoff team, and we'll get to the baseball later, obviously. Good night for both teams. Like, you get to the regular season, and you expected to beat these middling teams in the Central and then get to the World Series. Like, that's kind of the Yankee mantra by a lot of people, and it changes the evaluation of the team. Well, the next coach of the Knicks is walking into the same exact thing. All right. Now, the only difference is Knicks don't have the lineage like the Yankees have, but there are going to be moments during the regular season where if the Knicks aren't playing well, the Knicks are going to be micro-dissected like we dissect, you know, a Jets or a Giants coach butchering a timeout with 12 seconds left in the fourth quarter in a three-point game in a divisional matchup. Because the expectation right now for the Knicks is championship. So, and that's it. Like, you got to at least get there. Now, you need a strong leader. I believe that, you know, Nora and some of these other guys are going to bring some good innovative stuff. I don't know that you can really take a risk with somebody who might not be that organizational front man, that alpha. Like, that is one thing that I know Jason Kidd's bringing to the table.
Right.
If they lose three in a row, Jason Kidd's going to handle the smoke and he's going to handle the bullets fine. I don't know about these other guys. Like, this is a different job now.
Well, that's why he was appealing to me to begin with, where he had head coaching experience and he had experience in New York and familiarity with Jalen Brunson. So when you make a move to fire a guy who's been so successful like Tom Thibodeau with the Knicks, you better make sure the next guy checks a lot of those boxes. So you can look at Jenkins and be like, well, yeah, he did a lot with Memphis and maybe got a raw deal because of John Morant and he's an innovative offensive mind. But what about him handling New York? What about him and Jalen Brunson and the Rick Brunson dynamic? Like with Jason Kidd, my only question mark with Kidd is him as a person. The stuff that he's done in the past that's reprehensible. The I don't know, like sneaky nature. Like he wanted out of the net, so he forced his way to Milwaukee.
He's slippery, man. He's a little slippery.
And that's why I think it's going to happen with the Knicks because he's going to get out of Dallas. Like he wanted to go to Dallas. Now he's going to want out of Dallas and come to the Knicks for his dream job. And then eventually it's going to be, man, the Knicks can't get it done. Now I want to go with the next superstar. Like that's how Jason Kidd is. So outside of that, me not thinking he's a good person and not a loyal person, I mean, that's been proven. That's not even an opinion. Jason Kidd is not loyal.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
So outside of that, basketball-wise, familiarity with Brunson, experience in New York, experience as a head coach in multiple stops, and I do think he's a good head coach, so that's why, to me, he'd be... And it would mean that they had a plan if they end up with Jason Kidd.
All right, let me volley this to you here, because it's come up a few times, and I think maybe we need to probe a little bit more deeply into this. Now, it would be certainly a 1 or 2 day story, there's no doubt. It would be... There would be some scathing articles, there would be some journalists who look at the character and the off-the-court issues, and that would be their main lane, if you will, the day if he's hired. Like, I could already see it. I'm just trying to think.
I think so, too, but maybe we're off on that. Like, was it a big deal with the Nets when they hired him?
With the Knicks is going to be a million times bigger than the Nets. It's going to be a different microscope, a different focus here. And I say all this here because... Now, if he's employed by another NBA team, that sure, and has been for a while, multiple teams,
right.
That should be good enough for the rest of us. Right. It should be, right? Now, and it probably will be for me, even though I'm with you, he's a slippery, lower character person, and that's all documentable, if you will. But we also have to be even, and we have to be fair about this, guys. Three of the most cherished sporting luminaries, not even going back to Mickey, who was a drunk and everybody.
Yeah.
Doc, Daryl, and LT. LT, I mean, just do a Google and non-football stuff. LT's he's a menace. Doc's numbers hanging and Daryl's numbers hanging. And there's documentaries and they're beloved. Right. Oh, Doc and Daryl. We romanticize. Hey, Daryl basically punched his wife.
Right.
Both guys had his ex-wife, massive drug issues. So if we're going to focus on character, let's be consistent.
I do think the difference is, though, and those guys have paid their price and have been punished. I do think there's a difference between players who had issues during their playing days and a guy who you're going to hire to be the head coach and leader of these young men and a face of your organization, plus not to mention the Knicks organization, which has had... You know, with some of their own issues in the last 20 years. Not that you want to go down that road again, because we don't, but I'm just bringing it up and I'm telling you, like, I'm not saying I wouldn't hire him. I said that I would hire him. It's just the only thing that prevents me from truly loving this is I don't think Jason Kidd is a good person. Now, it doesn't mean that people are going to make a big deal of this. I don't know what's going to happen. I would assume that some people are going to reference the track record. Yeah. I don't think Kidd cares about it. He's handled it before. Like you said, he's been employed many times over. You know, we didn't focus on that when he's a player with the Knicks. So we didn't. So I doubt that people are going to do it. But to me, it is a little different from player to head coach when, as a head coach, you're supposed to be looked up to and you're a leader of these men. And if I'm a player, I'd be like, well, I'm going to take what you said seriously when you did X and Y and Z.
I don't think players look at it like that. They look at more like, man, I love watching YouTube tapes back in the day throwing no-look passes to Jimmy Jackson and Jamal Mashburn.
But maybe I'm in the minority, but that's how I would.
Yeah, no, I get it, and that's important to me as well. I know we'll jump into the phones here. I wish, like, big picture, and this is about Kidd, but big picture, I don't like the way that I feel about... Like, I don't have a great sense that the Knicks are about to make the right move. I wish I felt better about that. It's just so weird, man. They're in the Eastern Conference Finals. They won 50-plus games. But the way it ended, from Tom Thibodeau, the exit meetings with the players, the stunning firing, even though I was saying before that that's what I would do, but I was still stunned when they did it. Like, to me, Sal, we're sitting here. It's, you know, it's late June. And I still don't feel like the Knicks have a great plan. If they walk away with Kidd, I think that'll be really good from a basketball perspective. But I'm still not so sure that they get him. I don't think Dallas is going to give him up.
Yeah, and if they don't, then it's going to be at least plan B or just, okay, well, let's take the best of the bunch that's available. I think Kidd's the only one that would say, okay, well, this was their plan from the beginning, hoping to pry him loose from Dallas, knowing that he would be interested in the job and maybe trying to work his way out of Dallas to get to New York. Got to get into the drafts as well. Let's get back to the calls here. 888-808-1019. Peter is calling from Elmont. What's up, Peter?
Hey, good morning. This is the only show of its type that I listen to because I can count on it for erudite basketball discussion. My key word this morning for the Knicks is baggage or luggage, and this applies to Kidd and Towns. I don't think the Knicks need Kidd's baggage, and I've never been particularly impressed with his abilities while the clock is running. When they were in the playoffs, the Mavericks were thoroughly confused at times by defensive schemes that were thrown up against them. But let's bring it out to the other piece of baggage or luggage, and that is Towns. At one point, you fellas were saying, one of you was saying, well, we're not married to him. You know, you could move on from him. You're not going to move on from him. The tapes don't lie. Everyone saw what happened. His clueless wanderings on defense, not knowing his teammates on offense. I think you need a low key coach to come in here, see if you can get Towns to start performing the things that the team needs from a 7-foot guy, and get the fact that he's not Kevin Durant out of his head.
Well, I think that's fair, Pete. Thanks for the call. I think the fair question now is, because we all know what the deficiencies were with Cat, what's the probability that he changes and fixes those at the age of 30?
Defensively?
Yeah.
Zero.
It's going to get worse because he's going to get slower.
And very good call, Peter, but there is not a coach that's going to get Karl Anthony Towns to be better on the defensive end. If there were a coach that could do it, it would have been Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah, so especially in Minnesota when he was younger.
So instead, what you need to do, and this is why I think the Knicks did decide to move on, or at least in part move on from Tom Thibodeau, instead of trying to get him to play defense, you have to figure out the head coach that can maximize his offensive game. And as much as I love Tom Thibodeau, we've said this many times,
yeah,
they were not maximizing Karl Anthony Towns' offensive game, specifically in the postseason, but really all season long. It just was magnified in the postseason because you needed to see him on the perimeter more shooting threes. And if that means hiring Taylor Jenkins and getting him more threes, if it means Mike Anori, if it means Jason Kidd, whoever it's going to be has to maximize what Karl Anthony Towns can do offensively to complement Brunson and Bridges. That is the only way this team will have the ultimate success.
Yeah, and even if they do that, I'm still not convinced that they'll have the ultimate success. And let me substantiate that because they are obviously close to it, so I don't want it to just seem like a ridiculous statement. But I want everybody to understand this here. Unless the Knicks make a big move, right, you're going to start the season with one of the smaller backcourts in the NBA, all right, if you continue to start Josh Hart, which I would not, by the way. But if you do start Josh Hart, I'm sure it's debatable. I'm sure there's a couple outliers around the league on bad teams. But you've got one of the worst shooting two guards in the NBA when Josh Hart's playing two guard. Now you throw in the smallest Brunson, and we love Hart, but he can't shoot, and Jalen can't play defense. So that's an issue. And because Jalen can't play defense, obviously Cat, who can't play defense either, his world is complicated because Jalen Brunson doesn't help him defensively with the pick and roll. Oh, yeah, by the way, you still got a big man who can't hit a free throw if you locked him in the gym for a month, and you still have no bench. So we can sit here and focus on Jason Kidd and Jenkins and anybody else. They better get at least two new players who are going to be in this rotation.
Maybe more well-rounded basketball players, because we went over this at the beginning of the postseason. I remember sitting there thinking against the Pistons, like, God, this team's, to your point, like, the team's got a big man who's great defensively, but he's a liability offensively. Their other big man is a liability defensively. Smaller point guard who can't play defense, shooting guard who can't shoot. Like, there are a lot of problems with this Knicks team as far as the puzzle pieces fitting together, which is why they need to find the right head coach, figure out how he wants to use these guys, whether it be Mitch, the starting center, Cat, the starting power forward, and have him stretch the floor as a four and play on the perimeter.
Which, like, he did with Gobert next to him in Minnesota for a little bit.
Keep the ball moving on the perimeter. You want to have Bridges attack and kick it out, or Brunson have it. It can't be, all right, let's feed Brunson right now. Okay, now let's let's feed Bridges for three or four possessions. Now let's feed Cat and give him the ball at the top of the key so we could grab it like Barry Sanders and attack the rim. Like, that's not the recipe for success. They need to be more cohesive as a unit and make the pieces fit right. And that is going to take acquiring at least one, maybe two players who could do some other things.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, we didn't really touch on, do you really want to give Mikal Bridges almost $200 million? Anybody want to sign up for that?
No,
I don't. I'll be the first to say it.
They don't have to do that now. They can do it.
They can do it. Right. Obviously, they can do it because his contract's up after this year, so $20-something million.
So why would they do that
Well,
now?
The reason why you would do it is to justify giving up five first-round picks for somebody who's in his 20s that you thought was going to be a big piece of a championship puzzle. I mean, imagine... Now, they could trade him, so that's one thing that you could do. But imagine...
If you don't sign him, you could trade. Yep. But he's not... Like, he's under contract.
He's got a contract for this year
coming up.
That's what I'm
saying. So he was going to bitch and moan about it? Like, why would they make that decision now when you could just wait and see how he does?
Well, because then I believe now you get into, like, the small language of the CBA. But now I think it becomes more punitive for the Knicks where now it's more unrestricted. Not that... I don't know that you'd have 20 teams knocking down his door, but... there is an advantage now for the Knicks to do exactly what I'm not sure, so I don't want to get there. I'll get to the extent. Okay. I don't want to be wrong on that. But either way, to me, forget about the money because it's a lot, but does anybody really want to commit to him for 4 years?
No.
I don't.
That's my point. I don't care if it's beneficial now financially.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not taking that gamble. No way.
That's what I'm saying.
I would rather ride it out and bet that he's not going to be a player that's worth $200 million and either trade him. I don't care about the five picks. Like, you can't go back. It's gone. It's
over. Sunk cost. It really is.
Right. So chasing bad money, right? Is that the phrase?
Yeah.
Chasing that is not good.
Sometimes, like, you got to know, I lost 1,000 playing blackjack. Don't lose 5,000. Leave.
Yeah. All right. The picks are gone, and that's fine. I still stand by the decision to make that move. I'm not worried about the draft picks.
Yeah.
It was the right move at the time. Now you got to see it through before you commit long term. And if he does not come out the gate playing like the player you thought he could be with a new head coach in a new offense in year two with the Knicks, then I would consider moving him because he's going to be valuable because of his expiring contract.
Okay, just to button some things up here, some details, because I don't want to make sure we have this here. So, okay, the Knicks are facing, it's not quite 200, it's $156 million, right? As I read, the Knicks are facing a $156 million decision this offseason, but they may explore the trade market before offering any new contracts. Bridges eligible for 4 years, as I said, it is 156. Extension this offseason, of course, they acquired him, blah, blah, blah. However, this time New York could end his time in New York could end sooner than expected. Oh, I guess Frank had this. I saw it on ESPN. Yeah. As the club is exploring trade packages for the 28-year-old, good. That actually makes me feel good. I just don't like the whole union of Bridges and OG. It doesn't. I'd rather have OG.
Yeah,
OG's better. The Knicks may look to shake up the roster after falling. Blah blah blah. While the Knicks could retain Bridges without an extension, to your point, as we know, there's a risk he could walk in free agency, leaving the Knicks with nothing in return. So that, and then there's a little bit more, but you know, so
I don't care about that. Meaning, the problem be, oh, you gave up five picks and now you just let them leave for nothing? Don't care.
I do. I think you got to care about it a little bit.
It's not nothing. It's 2 years. You get 2 years. You made a mistake. If it doesn't work out, you made a mistake. If it is good and he wants to be here and he's happy playing with Brunson and whatever, the Nova guy, then you.
He didn't look that happy
then
this year.
Not, man. Well,
did he look happy? Well, I don't think he looked that happy.
Now, if you're trading him, they're not going to trade him for nothing. This is not a dump Bridges spot. This is a, hey, we have a valuable asset here.
Correct.
And we're just looking for an asset that's going to better fit Towns and Brunson.
No question.
And OG.
Yeah, 100%. Now, if they play this right, well, that's kind of like I'd like to have a coach in here to give some opinions. So if they play this right, the expiring contract, as you know, is an incredible asset in the NBA. So, and it's $20-something million, so that is valuable to some team. You know, not that I want to get rid of him, but you might have to. Like, if you go Bridges and say Deuce, who is a good player on a cheap contract with two more years to go,
get a big piece back.
You could get a good piece back.
Yeah, BT would say there were moves to be made. It'd be nice to have a head coach in place.
Real quick, last night at the NBA draft, a couple of things around Jason Kidd, the potential Knicks head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Until Jason Kidd signs an extension with Dallas, the rumor is going to live. Nico Harrison, of course, was asked about this. I want you to take a listen to Nico's answer, and I'll tell you why everything he said is crap. Ladies and gentlemen, Nico Harrison being asked about Jason Kidd potentially coaching the New York Knicks.
Are there rumors still out there about J. Kidd?
Apparently.
Oh, okay. I thought I shut him down. Yes, he will be the coach next year.
Wow, yeah. He was laughing the whole time.
So here's what we shouldn't be confused by. If it was up to Nico Harrison, Jason Kidd is the coach.
Of course.
Like, he's not lying. Jason Kidd becoming the coach of the New York Knicks goes back to something we talked about when this started. Jason Kidd would have to make things uncomfortable. Jason Kidd would have to be the snake in the grass. So I don't think Nico Harrison is lying. That's not the right wordage for it.
He was laughing, though.
He's laughing because he knows what kind of snake Jason Kidd is.
Well, the question is, has he actually had a conversation with Jason Kidd? Does he actually know what he's talking about?
I'm going to tell you something, Teague. I've heard they don't speak.
Right. So have they had conversations about what's happening with the Dallas Mavericks for the 2025-2026 season? The answer is likely not yet.
Right.
They were chummy last night together.
That's fake chummy because that's in public with people seeing it. You know what I mean? Like, that's not
they were laughing with real, each other.
Yeah, but that's fake. That's what I'm telling you.
Well, I mean,
they drafted
Cooper Flagg.
Right.
Would you not be chummy?
But they're also teak in front of people.
Yes.
Like, they're not idiots. Mm. I've heard they don't speak. Now, maybe what I'm hearing is incorrect. I mean, do you have a source telling you otherwise?
No, I would just say,
oh, okay.
I believe Jason Kidd has not been in that many Hollywood productions, and he'd be some actor based on what we saw last night if it was that fake.
You, of all people, are wondering if Jason Kidd's an actor? Remember The Migraine? You see that movie?
Okay, not the actual movie.
No, the movie in which he performed having a migraine. I'll give you one other clip. Our very own Zach Gelb was at the draft. Great question to Cooper Flagg. Hey, Cooper, has Jason Kidd basically told you, don't worry, I'm going to coach you? Listen to this interaction. Tell me what you get from this.
Cooper, being here in New York, there's a ton of speculation about Jason Kidd, potentially even the Mavs, to coach the Knicks. Has he given you any assurance that he'll be your coach? And if so, what do you kind of hope to learn from him?
No, I haven't had those conversations yet at all. But I think talking with, you know, Coach Kidd, you know, my workout and even after I got picked, I was on the phone with him for a minute. I think he's just excited. He has a good vision for me and what I can do and how I can impact the game. So I'm excited to just talk to him more.
The first part of that answer tells you everything you need to know. Jason Kidd didn't reassure the number one overall pick.
I know.
Don't worry, I'll be the coach.
No, he didn't say that.
Because he's angling his exit.
Well, it's just he's playing both sides of the middle. So that's what you do.
Well, here's
when you don't know what your future or what you actually want if you're Jason Kidd.
Oh, no. He knows what he wants. Mm. See, here's what I think is happening.
Well, what he's doing, yeah. That's really what the issue is.
Jason Kidd wants to coach the New York Knicks. Like, if it's up to him, he'd be coaching the New York Knicks yesterday. But it's not up to him.
Right.
And it is complicated. Like, Nico Harrison wants Jason Kidd to coach the Mavericks. Like, I'm not denying that part. But Jason Kidd can also make things uncomfortable enough for Nico to say, all right, let's move on.
Yeah.
So I think what we're witnessing, and this is a part of why, you know, the Knicks get so much criticism, it's just unfair. They want Jason Kidd.
Of course they do.
Okay, these interviews that they're doing, they may not get Jason Kidd, so you still have to do the interviews.
Right.
So you have to look at, hey, is this the right guy? Is that the right guy? They want Jason Kidd, and right now we are involved in like a chess match between Nico Harrison and Jason Kidd. I don't even think the Knicks are involved in the chess match. They're just waiting
to see if the
snake can get what he wants.
They're just hanging out. By the way, thank you, SNY. Thanks for joining us here at the Cadillac Club. I cannot wait till you go off air because I can get my martini and have a beverage. Baseball Night in New York is coming up next, brought to you by the Tri-State Cadillac Dealers. And thank you, Jeannie. She got us the bucket hats.
Oh, thank you.
They're amazing.
Thank you very much.
She brought them over. I don't know who actually
got
them.
She doesn't want credit.
But she's getting credit even if she doesn't want it. So
she brought us M&M's.
And M&M's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So do you agree?
What about what?
The point you made before you said goodbye to SNY.
I don't know. I'm thinking about my martini. I don't know what you're talking about.
How about credit to Zach Gelb, who went to the draft with the purpose of asking that one question?
Zach did a great job. It's a great question because Cooper Flagg has no reason to lie. He's going to be honest.
Absolutely.
And so his honest answer
was... He doesn't know
that
he needs to lie.
Right. First of all, Cooper Flagg is not paying attention to the Knicks coaching search or the rumors and innuendo that's around. So Cooper gave an honest answer, which is, no, he hasn't reassured me. And I think it shows you that this is still a possibility. And I would say it's 50-50, not because Jason Kidd doesn't want the job. It's 50-50 because I don't know if Kidd's going to be able to orchestrate the exit that he wants. Well, but he wants to coach the Knicks.
How much interaction do you think he had with Cooper Flagg before the draft?
I, think they had plenty.
Yeah, because they take the visits, all the things that, Ace Bailey didn't want to do, Cooper Flagg likely did with the Dallas Mavericks because everybody knew that he was going to the Dallas Mavericks.
Yes.
So go ahead and take advantage of it, get ahead of the game, etc. So in those two or three or however many visits they were, that never came up?
I guess because Jason Kidd, is not going to want to lie to him. Because I think he is angling for this job, and I think if we're looking for signs, obviously there are two things that would end the Jason Kidd thing. Number one, the Knicks just hire somebody.
Right.
Obviously that happens, it's over. And the other thing would be Kidd signing an extension. He has not. Hmm. We have not heard of an extension. If the extension gets signed, then Sean, you have every right to say, see, this was all a play for more money.
Yeah.
And he got it, and I would say, you're right. That's what happened.
Right.
But until that happens, this is a possibility. What? This is wide open, and I believe the Knicks are still waiting on the Jason Kidd saga, and I do think it's 50-50, if I had to give you a number on it.
But doesn't there come a certain point here is now, okay, we're going to night two of the draft. There's got to be a drop-dead date where you need to hire a coach eventually.
There is. The question is, what is that date? I made the argument with Tiki yesterday. I don't think they have to rush this thing. So what is the date? I mean, do you have a date?
I would think you should have some kind of input in free agency.
So you're saying the date is like in 3 days?
Yeah.
Okay. You're wrong. I disagree. Tommy, you're positive.
I am.
Give me a realistic date where you say, okay, because one thing that was interesting with you is you had a very long leash with Rodgers where, hey, I'll wait forever.
Yeah.
I think you want Jason Kidd. Is that fair to say?
I don't think it's fair to say, but I'm okay with it.
How long would you wait for him? What's your drop dead date where you say, got to hire a coach?
I would say the night before the season starts.
Wait a minute. If you're a free agent, big or small.
When does camp start? When does the
September.
Camp? In September.
Not a camp. It's not the NFL. These guys are running around. They're running around in basketball
shorts. But we also
shorts.
Can't not say, so oh, middle of summer will be fine. So like August 12th, that's when it's fine? Like you can't
Well, that's
say,
my point. So any,
you can't say an indefinite time.
Any date we give in the summer is like arbitrary. That's why I gave the night before the season starts.
Hold on.
Then you're on deadline.
We know they have their superstars already. But I almost think this is more important for role players. If you're a role player making a decision between a couple teams, are you signing with a team where you have no idea who their head coach is going to be?
That's a great point.
Therefore, you don't truly know what your role is going to be?
I think that...
That's the one issue that you can't deny.
I think that there was more negative towards Thibodeau not playing, quote, me, versus I'm not sure who the coach is. Like, I think if it's even money, even situation in terms of chances of winning a championship, you're right. But if you believe the Knicks have a better chance to win a title than the other team making you an offer, I think you'll sign the deal and you'll go play for the Knicks. I agree arbitrary dates are tough. I would say, not to give you an arbitrary day, but before August 1st. Like, I think I give you the month of July to continue
month
to look.
Month of July?
Yeah.
They're going to go 30 more days?
Why are you more aghast with my opinion than his the night before the
Tommy's
season?
Just messing around. He doesn't even know. He doesn't care because somebody's going to be the head coach and he doesn't
matter. All right, July 20th. Is that better for you?
That's a little less than a month.
When I get back from Europe, okay? When David Wright has his number retired.
Are you coming back from Europe?
I will see. I don't know.
Not a given.
I may go there and never leave. Great job by SNY. Great job by Steve Apri. Everybody here, it was a very fun time. If you missed Pete Alonso, you will hear from Pete Alonso because he joined us and it was a lot of fun. And this whole show today has been on the road. And thank you to Town Fair Tire, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. But you'll hear from Pete Alonso. We'll also be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. And we appreciate it. It was a very fun time. It's always great to come to the Cadillac Club. Tiki's already offered that we should do every show from here.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Residency at the Cadillac Club?
Even during off days and during the winter.
Yeah. I'm good.
Like middle of December, we're at the Cadillac Club.
Is the bar open?
Yes.
It is. And happy birthday, Peggy. Great listeners.
Happy birthday, Peggy.
Thank you, Peg.
And happy birthday, Brandon Tiernan.
Yes.
And happy birthday, Derek Jeter. But more importantly, screw them. Happy birthday, Peggy.
Yeah, Peggy.
Yeah.
Let's go, Peggy.
That's right. Screw Derek Jeter. That's not nice. Pete Alonso coming up next, and then a very special edition of the Lugauer. Evan Attiki on the Fan.
We were talking about the Knicks coaching search and everything, and nobody really knows anything. Nobody really knows what's going on. And, you know, initially when all this stuff started, I was thinking, like, if you remember, what happens to the assistant coaching staff, all those guys? Because they didn't fire those guys.
No.
Like, they only fired Tibbs. That's all we know. Like, there was no other announcement other than we're going for a championship. That's our ultimate goal, and that's a goal, obviously, I'm glad that they have. And that's why I would think, man, you got to have somebody with some experience as a head coach. Are you going to bring in a guy that was an assistant coach somewhere that has not been a head coach yet?
Yeah, and as you mentioned, we talked about that right away. And at this point, so Mike Brown is someone who has been a head coach. Taylor Jenkins is a guy who's been a head coach. And James Borrego is a guy who's been a head coach. The only one that they have interviewed, and I guess Johnny Bryant's not an option, the only guy that they have interviewed that has not had that experience is Mike Inouye off the Timberwolves staff.
Who may have a relationship that's good with Carl Anthony Towns, and I guess you said possibly Jalen Brunson.
He was there when Jalen Brunson was there. Okay. Yeah, he was there for Jalen Brunson's last year in Dallas.
So maybe I mean, Rick Brunson is...
No. Hold on. He was there when Towns was there. He was not there. He was not working in Dallas when Brunson was there. So no, I don't think so.
So I would think that Leon Rose has, you know, obviously has relationships with all the agents of the players. And actually his son is an agent for the player. I guess Jones. I don't know. Is it Carl Anthony Towns' agent? I'm not sure. But anyway, the point being is that he has a direct line to the players through the agents, whether it be his son or the other agents that are representing the other players. So unless those agents were complaining or gave Leon Rose some information about some dissatisfaction that the players had with the coach, I just don't see how Leon Rose is making this decision.
You're saying you don't think making the decision to fire Tibbs or making the decision to hire the next guy?
No, making the decision to fire
Tibbs. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I mean, I initially thought that James Dolan would have left himself out of it. That was my original take. But the way that all of this has unfolded since, it's hard to say that it was a Leon Rose decision.
It's a really weird thing that's going on. At least on the Ranger side of things, I can kind of see what they're trying to do. And it makes, you know, whether they end up signing the right guys or trading the other guy, you know, what other guys they trade or assets they trade, you know, that's yet to be seen. At least I know what they're doing with the coaching staff. I know what they're doing, you know, with trying to retool the team and trying to make the team tougher. I can see that. You know, their draft is coming up on Saturday. They gave up their first-round pick, but their assets are players that they have under these shorter-term contracts, and they're younger players that maybe other teams would be interested in. Maybe they get back into the draft.
Yeah. I mean, and as you mentioned, you know, if James Hagans doesn't get taken by the Islanders, which is unlikely, you know, maybe he ends up on the Rangers. That'd be one hell of a story growing up an Islander fan. Who knows? There'd be some intrigue there for sure in the NHL draft. But yeah, I mean, it was clear. But this is why it also feels more like Dolan, is because with the Rangers situation, like agree or disagree, there's been a clear, concise deal.
We're getting the coach. Here's the coach. Here's right. Who the coach is going to be. We're going to trade Chris Kreider. We may trade Keandre Miller if that we can get enough assets back for him. We may try to get back up into the first round. Like I can see that's all unfolding in front of me.
Yeah,
and I could have said the same thing about the Islanders that I'm saying about the Knicks now, because they waited to hire a general manager. And the general manager, obviously, must have a relationship with the head coach, and they kept the head coach. So I see where the Islanders are trying to move now, and plus they have the first overall pick, and they'll have their draft party at UBS on Saturday, and, you know, they'll probably most likely take this kid Schaefer and move on from there. And then it comes down to, are they trading any assets, or are they keeping all of the assets that they have that are tradable right now? And that's you know, at least you could see that as a fan. You may not like what they do, or you may love what they do, but at least you can see what they're trying to do. Right here with the Knicks, I'm assuming the seven guys that played most of the time last year are staying. So now you're talking about the bottom half of the roster that they're going to fiddle with. And they're going to have to bring a coach in here that's going to be able to lead this team to, I think, an opportunity of a lifetime to get back to the Eastern Conference Finals, given what's going on in the Eastern Conference.
Well, yeah, I mean, the NBA Finals, too, for that matter. So, yeah, it's a weird one, and if they don't have a coach going into free agency, that's going to look really bad. Like, it's one thing to not have a coach when you're picking 20th in the second round. It's another thing to go into free agency and not have a coach.
If I had to ask you right now, after last night's draft, who is the most improved team in the Eastern Conference?
I mean, Most improved
team. Who's the
team
that, you know, I mean, is, you know, Cleveland lost a player. Indiana lost a significant player. Boston has lost
Atlanta,
three significant
Atlanta,
players.
Atlanta maybe getting Porzingis if he's healthy. I mean.
This is the window right now for the Knicks.
Yeah.
And maybe the window was this year included, but this like these next two or three years, this has got to be the time. If they're going to win a championship, it's got to be now.
Well, and that's probably what drove Dolan, if we believe Dolan to be the one who got rid of Tibbs, that's probably what drove him to it. It's like, we can't, he'd be doing the same stuff, hearing the same things, same issues, lost to the same team twice. The window is open. We can't do the same thing again and expect the same result. And not expect the same result, rather. So we got to do something different. Maybe that's where it came from.
Just for all right. Well.
I mean, I'm not saying that. I'm playing devil's advocate. Yeah, but maybe that's where it came from, where it's like, hey, this is a huge opportunity for us. And if we come back with the same team and expect different results, that's stupid.
And you're going to have a coach coming in here and absorbing this coaching staff, or is that coach going to be able to bring in his own coaching staff?
Well, I mean, I think,
because how could you trust anybody on this coaching staff? Maybe you have friends on the coaching staff, maybe you know them, but how could you trust them to do what you want to do as the head coach? I'm like, this thing, it feels like whoever the head coach is going to be is going to be neutered.
Oh, of course, already. I mean, there's no two ways about it, especially if the free agency happens, if there's no coach, because then, like, there's no collaboration, because basically then the GM is telling you what type of game he wants the team to play, what type of identity he wants the team to have without the coach having any input on it. Because he's saying, these are the players that we have, and you got to figure that out with this. So go for it. But it's really the roster construction that dictates the way that a team plays.
Man, I'd love to be a fly on the wall in some of these internal meetings with these candidates. It'd be amazing just to listen to some of the questions. And you know, and I'm sure it has a lot to do with playing time and, you know, rotational way of, you know, getting more players on the court, more playing time for different players. But again, I think you also have to have a coach that has some relationship with NBA players that they're going to want to add to this roster, don't you think? I mean, this guy fits my system, that guy fits my system, I can make my system work with these guys. I don't know. It's really, I mean, it's maddening, actually.
It's one of these things that I said before. I mean, because it's going on with the Knicks and it's the NBA, which is a little quirky to begin with. If you were to take this same situation and put it in the NFL world, all we would talk about is how the team was so stupid. Like, that they would fire their head coach and start asking around the league for the best head coaches that are under contract is insane. And then to go into a draft without a head coach and potentially free agency without a head coach. If that were an NFL team, we would be screaming to the high heavens. It's the dumbest thing we've ever seen in our lives.
Yeah, well, to me, like the NFL, well, I would also say hockey. I think all three of those sports have systems that guys coach and that are good at coaching certain types of systems. And you hope that coach and that system is going to fit the roster that you have. Baseball doesn't, you know, managing is completely different.
Yeah.
Than the coaches of those three sports.
It's getting more and more frustrating. Like, the league around the Knicks is operating. The Celtics are making trades. The Nets are making trades. The Atlanta Hawks are making trades. There's things that are going on. The draft is tonight.
Yes. I'm just wondering, like, people just don't like Porzingis or what? And this guy gets traded, you know, he gets traded more than Kevin Durant.
Yeah, well, Kevin Durant wants to get traded. I don't know. I mean, Kristaps did want out of the Knicks and his pain in the ass brother and all that stuff. I don't know. I mean, I feel like with Kristaps, it was a couple of things. One, you mentioned with the money, and also, you know, he fit perfectly for that year. They win a championship. Some weird illness happens with him this year. Obviously, they got to do some salary cap maneuvering, and he was an easy one to move on from.
I don't know that much about the trade between, you know, them and Atlanta, but it was Atlanta, right? Is that who they traded with?
Yeah, he's
on
Atlanta now. And the Nets.
Right, so, but all I do know is that Jrue Holiday and Porzingis were a pain in the ass for the Knicks.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, like, things are rapidly changing. you know, around the Knicks. Like I feel like it's positive. You know, and I don't even talk about the injuries that have happened to the significant players in the Eastern Conference, but it's a part of the story. But, you know, the Celtics now are starting to, their new ownership realizes that they're going to be paying some big money to some players here.
Yeah. I mean, and so this is what the Knicks, of course, have interviewed Jenkins, have interviewed Mike Brown, and now they're interviewing Micah Norrie, who is a Timberwolves assistant. And Jerry played some cuts from him because he's one of the guys that gets interviewed during the games instead of the head coach. And he's a Southern guy who actually uses phrases like watertight, like a frog's butthole. Like Jerry played a whole bunch of stuff yesterday.
Yes.
And he was like, I'm praying. Jerry said, I'm praying to the sports gods that the Knicks hire this guy because of the stuff he was saying. You know, he was like, man, I tell you, that pick and roll is not working. It was like boobs on a bull. What's the point? You know, it's like, what?
Well, maybe he had a good relationship with Karl Anthony Towns when Karl Anthony Towns was there. And maybe Karl Anthony Towns' agent and Leon Rose are speaking about, you know, coaches that Karl Anthony Towns likes, maybe?
Yeah, so he got there in 2021. So, yeah, he did spend a couple years with him as the lead assistant. So, is Karl Anthony Towns dictating everything that's going on in the organization?
I don't know.
Now?
You wouldn't think so because of the way that he comes off in interviews and the way that he talks and some of the things that he says. You would think that, you know, he wouldn't have or be that kind of guy pushing.
But this is what it is, though. You're right. It's not him. It's the people who were infatuated with him, had to get him here, and needed to work because their reputation is on the line because of it.
Well, it did work.
Needed to work for as far as a championship because it didn't work in their eyes because they fired the coach after making it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
But what I'm saying is that they had a successful year, and he had a very successful year for the Knicks. He did.
But they're thinking bigger now, as they should. So, and they need to get more out of them, and they should.
So, therefore, go get a guy that he is comfortable with and he likes to work with, and maybe that guy can, you know, create an offensive system that, you know, he'll be able to get more out of. I don't know. How much more do you want from Karl Anthony Towns?
We talked about at the end of the season. What you need is more consistency, not sloppy fouls, getting back on defense. You know, like those things. Being a bully in the paint offensively as opposed to just standing behind the three-point arc and chucking it up. We know the things. We're like a few weeks removed now from it, but yes, we all remember what the things we needed from him were.
And watching OKC, especially in Game 7, I don't know if you noticed this or not, any shot that was hit by OKC, there was no celebrating. It was all get back on defense.
No, that's why they're the best defensive team in the league.
You know, nobody was flexing after a dunk like, yeah, and then the guy that he's covering is like 20 feet past him already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's none of that crap going on.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't think Karl Anthony Towns is going to change all that much. But if you're going to hire a coach, you better hire a coach that, you know, can keep him somewhat happy and somewhat engaged and hopefully get a little bit better of a year that you got out of him from this year. You got an all-star year out of him this year. And they were good. They went all the way to the conference final. They should be able to take the next step. But unlike the Pacers, they're going to have to do it with another coach, not with the same coach that went to the Eastern Conference Finals last year and then took his team to the finals this year and unfortunately lost his best player in Game 7.
Yeah, and I think that once we see Jason Kidd doing interviews tonight talking about Cooper Flagg being on his team, you can officially close the door on that dream happening. I know it's sort of on life support and people think that the Knicks could still take that big swing, but once you get Jason Kidd out there saying, oh, I got Cooper Flagg now, and obviously we hope Anthony Davis is healthy and Kyrie and the extension, and here we go, blah, blah, blah. We're in the finals a couple years ago. We're going to try to get back there, then forget about it. Then his extension comes and bang. So it's going to be, you know, unless there's some other assistant out there we don't know about, you got those three candidates right now, Mike Brown, Micah Norrie, and Taylor Jenkins.
And for us locally, I guess, you know, Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey are the two guys that Dylan Harper seems to be trending as the number two overall pick, and Ace Bailey has fallen a little bit.
Well, he's fallen because he didn't want to take a meeting with the 76ers. He wasn't going to do a workout for them or anything. So I think he wants to be either in, I guess, Utah, Washington, or New Orleans. I don't know.
God.
Well, I mean, I don't know what to say. He doesn't want to be.
I would think he'd want to be with the Nets, maybe.
Yeah, I could understand, but that's all the way down at 8. You know? I mean, does he want to fall all the way to 8? Why would you not want to be on the 76ers?
Well, the big question would be, are there any trades? You know, are there any trades out of, like, does San Antonio really want Ace Bailey? Does Philadelphia want, you know, Knipple? Is it Knipple from Duke? Knipel? Knipple? I don't know. What is it?
You're asking the wrong guy, but I like Knipple. That sounds good to me. Let's go with that.
I knew you would love that.
Yeah.
I knew you would love that.
Knipple. But yeah.
But you look at these teams at the top of this draft, it's like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
It always is that way.
But the not so much. Like, well, the Spurs, though, like with Wembanyama, they definitely have a future. The Sixers had a miserable year. You know, it's more like the Hornets, the Jazz, the Wizards, the Pelicans. But the Mavericks, I mean, you know, the Mavericks were in the finals 2 years ago.
I know. I kind of feel, well, and now they're getting the number one pick. And, you know, out of Kyrie's not going to be back.
Kyrie?
Maybe he won't be back until maybe February.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. But, yeah, it's going to be a while. But
and he's signing a three-year contract extension. So
$108 million.
So another team paying a guy not to play.
Yep, that's right. Man, he's found a way to do that. Him and Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant obviously with gets traded as well again. So other teams are making moves and the Knicks are hanging around.
Do you think
hanging around?
San Antonio's got two first round picks. They're number 2 and I think they're number 14.
Okay.
Could they trade those to Milwaukee for Giannis?
Yeah. They could, if that's what they want.
Then you got Giannis and Wembanyama. How would they play together?
I don't know. Let me call Tibbs. I don't know. He's got nothing to do. He could break it down. I mean, I'm sure, you know, talent like that, you could figure it out. But, and obviously them being in the Western Conference, it makes it easier for Milwaukee to want to trade him there. And the Rockets now getting Kevin Durant takes them out of it because that was one of the destinations. So, yeah, could be a possibility.
You see where Miami was all in. Trying to get Kevin Durant. They couldn't get him.
Yeah.
That Pat Riley, he ain't sitting still down there.
Like Leon Rose.
Well, I mean, Leon's doing things. Don't know what he's doing because he never talks to anybody.
What are you doing, Leon Rose?
I never know what they're doing.
Frank Isola used to cover the Knicks for a very long time. Does a great job on Sirius now, hosting an NBA show. Put out there that Mikal Bridges is on the trade block.
Really?
That the Knicks would be open to trading Bridges. Now, Mikal Bridges is now eligible to sign an extension. It is a four-year, $156 million extension.
Right. Well, that makes sense because they don't want to pay him.
Right. And I have to commend the Knicks about this. Not that they've traded him, not that they would trade him, not that they should trade him, because to me, the question is, okay, what are you getting back?
Right.
Obviously, you're trading a guy. Okay, great. What does that mean?
You're not getting five picks. That's
well,
for sure.
But you're not looking for five picks.
Of course not. But I'm just being joking about what he came here for.
No, and I get that, but I think that's actually my compliment to Leon Rose. If he is open enough to say, look, we tried this for a year, Mikal had his good moments, but we think we can get better by trading him, and we don't like the idea of giving him the $39 million a year, I think it shows a smart openness to not be married to the player because of the picks you gave up.
Yeah.
That would be foolish to be married to a player just because of what you gave up a year earlier.
Oh, it's just like going into a bad movie. I paid for the movie. All right, whatever. It sucks. Leave.
Right.
So this is the same thing. It's a sunk cost. The five picks are already gone. You can't do anything
exactly.
About it. So don't base your future decisions on something you can't control because it's in your past.
Don't make things worse because of a cost that's going to remain the same. You know, I actually said that recently to my wife about a Met game we were going to go to. We were going to go to a Met game. And she's like, you know what? I'm not really up for it. I said, that's fine. We don't have to go. And she's like, well, you're going to be able to sell it? I said, no, it's worthless. I'm not going to be able to sell it. Mm. It'll be a waste of money. And she says, well, then we should go. I'm like, well, what the hell's the difference? If we go or don't go, the cost is gone.
Right.
So it doesn't really matter.
Right. Are you going to get enjoyment out of going?
Right.
If the answer is no, then there's no utility. So don't go.
And that's the same thing with the idea of trading or not trading Mikal Bridges. Mm-hmm. Like, if the Knicks are getting something that Leon Rose deems gives them a better chance to win in the next couple of years, then you should do it and don't talk yourself into, well, but we gave up five first-round picks. Like, that's irrelevant. You know where five first-round picks is relevant? To stupid debates me and Tommy have. Mm. That's all it is. It's not relevant in the real world.
Right.
Who won the trade? Who cares who won the trade?
And they're years out anyway, so who cares?
Well, I got one coming. Yeah, I actually have two coming.
You have two coming this year.
Two of the five picks came from the Bridges trade.
A couple of them are out.
What do you mean?
For the Knicks.
Oh, what do you mean for the Knicks? All the picks came to the Nets.
I know that, but you gave up five picks for Mikal Bridges, so you're worried about, oh, I wish we still had those picks instead of Mikal Bridges because we're going to trade Mikal Bridges. Those picks were like down the line.
Yeah, they're way down the line.
It doesn't even matter.
And they're gone. And you don't want picks. Like, you're trying to get good veteran players to help you win right now. I don't think they're going to trade Mikal Bridges, by the way. I don't think there's going to be a trade out there that makes sense for you to do it. But I do think if there is an openness to moving him, that's actually pretty smart. Because you can't be married to a player because of what you gave up a year earlier.
Right.
Because then it's like you care too much about Twitter or your fans being mad. Like the Durant trade. Like the Phoenix Suns gave up a lot to get Kevin Durant. They've already deemed this isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
Holding on to him because they gave up a lot of picks in Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson would be stupid.
Right.
Like, why would you do that? And I know, oh, well, look at their return from Houston. It's so much worse. Okay. Well, 2 years went by. Like, it didn't work. You still have to do what's best for your franchise, no matter what the optics are. So I don't think they'll trade him. I don't think there's going to be a trade out there that we're all going to say, yes, 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 we have to make that trade. But it's interesting to hear that he is possibly available. Let's go to Joe in Massapequa. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Good. I'm actually the security guard 3 weeks ago at Colorado series, the Sunday. I told you I was going to call you on Monday.
That's right. That's right.
I'm heading there right now. I never got a chance to talk to you, but well, I got 2 points, a Yankee point and a Nick point.
Yeah.
The Yankee point is I know it's June 25th, but looking at the papers today, you know, Andy Bubby has one less home run and 3 more RBIs than Bobby Witt Jr. I know it's not going to end up that way, but he bats 6th or 7th in the lineup, and Witt bats 2nd or 3rd.
Yeah, but you're leaving out some other stats, like, you know, OPS, things like that.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, it's not the end of the world. You don't have Bobby Meacham at shortstop anymore.
No, I get you. He's not the end of the world. It's, again, with Volpe, it comes down to the expectations of what they thought he would be. And right now he's a 230 hitter with a low 7 OPS. Like, he's not what Yankee fans or even the Yankees envisioned he would be, but he's still, you know, a fine everyday shortstop. He's okay.
Right, but look at the shortstops they didn't sign. Bogarts is doing nothing.
Yep.
He's been hurt.
Yep.
Right? You have... Seager's very good, but he's been hurt.
Always hurt.
Trey Turner's doing okay. He's very good. But, you know, I mean, they took a chance. I mean, he's not Derek Jeter. He's not going to be Derek Jeter.
No. Yeah, he's also only in his 3rd year as well. So,
I mean, right, exactly. He's still young. I mean, and another point, and by the way, Mickey Mantle was sent down to the minors once, and you can send anybody down. So, my other point is, with the Knicks, my theory, and I tell all these Knicks fans, is I think Tibbs got fired because they beat the Celtics. They were supposed to beat the Pistons. They did. They weren't supposed to beat the Celtics. They did. They were supposed to beat the Pacers, and they didn't. And he got outcoached and exposed. And that's why he was fired.
I think he got fired, and Stephon Bondi did a great job of this in the New York Post this morning. He got fired because there were certain things about player development and the way he handled his rotations, and the way he didn't develop younger players, and the way he didn't rely on his coaching staff, that's why he got fired. Now, here's how I know this. Now, I don't know this. I think Stephon Bondi wrote a really good article in the Post this morning about the search. And in the search, he writes, according to a league source, here's what the Knicks are emphasizing in who their next head coach is. Mm. Okay, league source. Can't say it's inside the Knicks organization, right, but someone who would know says, here's what the Knicks are looking for. The Knicks are emphasizing player development, the implementation of larger rotations, and an established plan for the younger players, and also more openness to relying on your coaching staff. What I hear from that is Tibbs didn't do that.
Right. Good coach, but didn't do those specific things.
And so you know what that also tells me? He was getting fired no matter what. That's what it tells
me
now.
Because those were not postseason issues.
Some of it was.
A lot of it was, but most of that was what Knicks fans were complaining about the entire season.
Which means the front office had an issue with it.
Right, the entire season.
Right, so even though they got to the Eastern Conference Finals, the furthest they'd been in 25 years, other than winning a championship, because I think if you win an NBA title, it's like, how the hell could you fire your coach?
Or even just getting there.
I don't know for sure about that. Because
I mean, if you get there, and let's say they're the Pacers. So they get there and they lose in 7 games.
Mm-hmm.
How the hell are you firing Tibbs?
The same way you fired him for losing in the Eastern Conference Finals, for those exact reasons that Stephon Bondi listed. Mm. And I go back to the Boone decision, the Girardi decision, really. The Yankees defied all expectations and they got to the ALCS. I would argue the Yankees getting to the ALCS in 2017 was a bigger surprise than the Knicks getting to the Conference Finals this past season. Why? The Yankees weren't even a playoff team the prior year.
Right.
They were in a transition. The Knicks were supposed to be good. But the Yankees, for the reasons Brian Cashman decided, said, we're done with Girardi.
Right.
We need a new voice. And I remember after they got knocked out in the seventh game of the ALCS, asking aloud, like, okay, what if they won the pennant? And the answer I'd always get is, he was done. They weren't bringing him back. And so I think with Tom Thibodeau, when you read between the lines and what they're looking for in a new head coach, and clearly that's what Tom didn't have, I think he was gone no matter what.
Yeah.
I really do.
But it also takes you back to that conversation that we had right after he was fired, especially for a team that was in the Eastern Conference Finals. What was the plan? And maybe the plan is we're just going to search. It can be anybody. Has to be a good coach, obviously. But it can't be Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah.
That's now what it's starting to feel like. And that doesn't seem like a very smart plan unless it turns out to be a smart plan.
Well, I think it's, again, it's not the same, but it's a good, I think it's a good comparison because it's New York, it's local, and I do think there are some similarities. Let's go back again to deciding not to bring back Joe Girardi. I do not think the Yankees fired him with a guy specifically in mind. I think the Yankees said to themselves, it's over with Girardi.
Yeah.
It just is. We're not going to win with him, or it's baseball. We could win with him, but we've made our reasons and our decisions, the way he handles the locker room. It's too tense, all that. We're going to move on. I don't think they knew Aaron Boone was going to be the guy. I think they interviewed a lot of different people, and I think it's the same thing here where the Knicks knew, all right, it's time to move on from Tom Thibodeau.